Good morning, honorable members. I can see that you are all fine and ready for this term. Yes, I have a few apologies in front of me from the Department of Health. The Minister and the Deputy Minister are attending other meetings, and the Director General, who is in Geneva today, they won't be joining us today, but we have a senior member of that department, Dr. Freeman, yes, is here with us. And Honorable Boroto has sent an apology, and I think I have also other apologies from Honorable Moshudi, Honorable Mubignane, and Honorable Makunyane, yeah, and Honorable Makate. Those are the apologies from other members. So it looks like we can to have a sufficient number of provinces present in our meeting. We can continue with our meeting. Our item on our agenda is on the Mental Health Amendment Bill. Do we all have the mandates, members?
No.
Can we ensure that members have got all the mandates, final mandates from the provinces? Because I will have to rely on them, on those provinces that are not present today. With all the documentation. Honorable Flaky, are you fine with the mandate? You've got all of them. Sorry? All of them. Thank you very much. Yes. Okay. Thank you very much. I'm informed that Eastern Cape hasn't submitted any mandate, but we will continue. At this stage, honorable members, we are dealing with the consideration of the final mandate on the Mental Health Care Amendment Bill B39-2012. Can members assist me in reaching this out to the final mandate? Which is the first province? Is it Eastern Cape? Yes.
Sure.
Yes, ma'am.
The mandate from Eastern Cape, I'm told that it's still coming. It has not been signed by the speaker. The house is sitting today at Alfred Ndo, and it's going to be signed today.
Okay. Is that accepted, members? Thank you very much. Let's move to the next province, which is Free State. Who will be reading Free State for us? Can members or sister? Honorable Ranto, do you have Free State in front of you? Okay.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. The Free State Legislature's final mandate, and the name of the bill is the Mental Health Care Amendment Bill. The number of the bill, B39B, 2012. The date of the deliberation was 13th of September 2013, and the vote of the legislator, the Free State legislator, vote in favor of the bill, not in flavor. Sorry, it's just a bit of cheese that was so nice. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Baba. The next. Who signed the final mandate? Oh, can you read everything? You always like reading.
Madam Chair, said the vote of the legislature, the Free State legislature votes in favor of the bill. That means the legislature voted, and it was signed, if you wanted to know, by Ms. M.A. Torko. It's the Speaker of the Free State legislature. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Honourable De Villiers, for your help. That's complete now. The next province, KZN? Is it KZN? Thank you. Thank you. Gauteng.
Thanks, Honourable Chairperson. The name of the bill, Mental Health Care Amendment Bill, Section 76. Number of the bill, B39B2012.
Mm-hmm.
Date of deliberation, 4th of October 2013. Vote of the legislature. The Gauteng Provincial Legislature supports the principle and the detail of the bill and therefore votes in favor of the Mental Health Care Bill Amendment. Signed by the Deputy Speaker, Honorable Moira.
Thank you very much. Then the next province will be KZN. Can any member assist us to lead us with the KZN? And another member should prepare him or herself on the book. Honorable Tivilia says it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Final mandate. KZN provincial legislature final mandate to the Chairperson of the MPP. Mental health, the name of the bill, Mental Health Care Amendment Bill, B339B2012. Date of deliberation, Tuesday, 17 September 2013, vote of the legislature. The Continental Legislature met today, Tuesday, the 17th of September 2013, and agreed to mandate the KwaZulu-Natal delegation to the National Council of Provinces to support the Mental Health Care Amendment Bill, B39B2012, signed by Honorable M. M. Chimkulu, the Deputy Speaker.
Thank you very much, Honorable Rantwa. The next one will be Limpopo.
The mandate from the Limpopo Legislature, a final mandate, to the Chairperson of the National Council of Provinces, name of the bill, Mental Health Care Amendment Bill, number of the bill, B39B2012, date of deliberation, 7th of October 2013, vote of the legislature, the Limpopo legislature, to vote in favor of the bill. Signed by E. Non. Is that Non?
Yes, it's Non, you're right.
O-M-G.
Yes, you're right. Yes.
Thank you, Chairman.
Okay, thank you very much. The following province will be Mpumalanga. Anyone ready for Mpumalanga?
Final mandate. From Mpumalanga, legislation that subject to the Chairperson of the MPP, Mental Health Care Amendment Bill, number of bill B39B2012, date of deliberation 18 September 2013, vote of the legislature. The delegation is presenting the public of Mpumalanga in the National Council of Provinces, by the Chairperson.
Okay, thanks very much, Honorable Ranto. Next province, Northern Cape.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This was the final mandate from the Northern Cape province. Again, the Mental Health Care Amendment Bill. The number of the bill was B39B2012. date of the deliberation was on the 4th of October 2013. The vote of the legislature, the committee supports the Mental Health Care Amendment Bill B39B/2012. It was signed by our new speaker, Kenny Moimang, on the 4th of October 2013.
Oh, you.
Thank you.
You have a new speaker?
Yeah.
Oh. Hmm. Nice to you. All right. You are from Northern Cape. You should know firsthand. Next province is Northwest.
Bukone Bukirima. The final mandate. The name of the bill, Mental Health Care Amendment Bill. The bill number B39B2012, date of deliberation 26 July 2013, vote of legislature. The provincial legislature concurs with the amendments of the Mental Health Care Amendment Bill signed by Honorable Supra Obakeng Maumapelo.
Thank you very much. The last province is Western Cape.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The final mandate from the provincial legislature, the name of the bill, Mental Health Care Amendment Bill, B39B, the number 2012, date of deliberation the 13th of September 2013, vote of legislature, the Western Cape Provincial Parliament begs to report that it confers on the Western Cape delegation in the NCOP the authority to vote in favor of the bill, signed the Speaker Majola. I think this is Majola.
Yeah.
I'm not thinking this under written here. E.R. Majola. I was just looking at the signature and not the other print.
Okay.
Thank you, John. Okay.
Thanks very much. Honorable members, 8 provinces are in favor of the Mental Health Care Amendment Bill. So at this stage, whilst we are waiting for the Eastern Cape to send its own final mandate, at this stage I will read the report of the Select Committee on Social Services. Yes, Honourable.
Before that, Honourable Chairperson, on the Northern Cape one, it's saying here that the committee, it's not the legislature, the committee will support the Mental Health Care Amendment Bill. It must be the legislature, not
yeah,
the committee.
It must be, it has been an oversight, where's the member?
From the committee
to the legislature. So what do we do with that? Do we take it as an omission, yeah, a technical
from the legislature.
Error,
yeah.
Technical error, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what the legal advisor says. But it doesn't influence the decision.
Okay, Honorable Ransom.
As much as it doesn't influence the decision, the head, the what? The head.
The head.
Portfolio committee. Portfolio committee on health and social development.
Okay. That's also wrong.
Yeah.
The one of the Northern Cape.
Yeah.
Okay, can you
advise us? Thank you, Chairperson. I had already consulted on this. The portfolio committee you referred to as in the letterhead is that of the Northern Cape legislature. Some legislatures refer to a standing committee and some refer to a portfolio committee. And then, yeah, so there's no problem there.
Honorable Nobe and Ranta.
No, Honorable Chairperson. Technically, is that there is no vote from the legislature. This is an agreement from the committee. However, 7 provinces are voting in favor.
Okay. Honorable Ranto, here's a proposal.
Yeah. I vote in favor of what Honorable Ranto
is saying. Oh, you support. Okay. It's supported. Does the committee agree on that proposal and which is supported? Thank you very much. So we've got seven provinces that you'll have to. No, we're done with it. We're not opening it up. The committee has agreed that we have seven. We ignore that one unless it's corrected later. But here and now, we've got seven provinces that are in favor of the bill. And I was about to read the report. All right. The report reads as follows. Report of the Select Committee on Social Services on the Mental Health Care Amendment Bill, B39-2012. National Assembly Section 76, dated 8 October 2013. The Select Committee on Social Services, having considered the subject of the Mental Health Care Amendment Bill, B39-2012, National Assembly Section 76, referred to it, reports that it has agreed to an amended bill, which is B39B-2012. The report has been considered by the committee. Agreed? Yes, Honorable Member de Villiers?
I support what you say.
Thank you very much. Any seconder? Seconded by Honorable Nguyen and Honorable Brighty. Thank you very much. At this stage, we will release the Department of Health, and thank you very much for your support and contributions here. Then the next. Thank you. Well, that's it.
Thank you.
Honorable members, I have received few apologies again on this session with the IEC or Department of Home Affairs. Apology for Mrs. G.N.M. Pando, Minister of Home Affairs, and Ms. F. Tohan, Deputy Minister of Home Affairs. Thank you very much for the invitation. Please accept apologies on behalf of the Minister and the Deputy Minister. So we have apologies, but we have the delegation from the IEC. They will introduce themselves to the committee. And at this stage, they will introduce themselves. It's falling under Home Affairs. Okay. Honorable members, can I hand over to the department to introduce itself to the members of this, honorable members of the committee?
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Sai Mamabulu. I'm the Deputy Chief Electoral Officer at the IEC. I'll be representing the IEC. May I extend the Chairperson of the Commission, Advocate Chakula's apology. She was intending to travel until this morning. She has taken ill and she's not able to join this morning. And I'll hand over to my Home Affairs colleagues.
Morning, honorable members. My name is DSC Civil Major. I'm the director for drafting in Home Affairs Legal Services. Thank you.
Good morning, honorable members. I'm Sukiswa Adams from Legal Services. Senior Legal Administration Officer.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am.
My name is Chairperson. I'm Dombi Negiso. I'm the State Advisor from Cape Town.
Okay. Can we also introduce ourselves, honorable members? I'm Nomada Kasman, the Chairperson of this committee from Northwest Province.
Honourable members in the IEC, I'm a member Mngobe from the Gauteng province.
Morning everybody, my name is Michael Davalis of the Western Cape.
Morning everybody, my name is Willem Faber. I serve on this committee and I'm also an qualified legal advisor.
I'm Sipho Plaki from the Northwest Province.
Yes, ma'am. Support staff?
Morning, I'm Tabile K. Jekon, an advisor for this committee.
Good morning, I'm Sean Whiting. I'm a researcher for the committee.
Okay. Good morning, I'm Ms. Dasha Kasson. I'm from Parliament Legal Services.
To lead us on his presentation on the Electoral Amendment Bill.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm going to be presenting the substance of the bill. The objects of the bill are the following: to amend the Electoral Act 73 of 1998 to insert certain definitions, revise provisions relating to registration as a voter, to revise provisions relating to special votes in the election of the National Assembly, as well as in elections of provincial legislatures, to revise the numbers of party agents at certain voting stations, and to correct certain technical aspects in the text of the Act. Now, if we look at the bill clause by clause, clause 1 inserts a definition of a South African passport. It also introduces a definition of a smart card identity document. So that's the definition sections, and that's the whole sum of the of that clause, of the first clause. In clause 2 of the bill, we are amending section 6 of the Act to make for the presentation of a valid South African passport for any person who is ordinarily resident outside of the Republic when registering as a voter. This is in addition to the presentation of a South African identity document. The requirement for a valid South African passport relates to the confirmation of the currency of the applicant's citizenship. In clause 3 of the bill, we are amending section 7 of the Act in order to provide for an application for registration as a voter to be made in person. Previously, this provision was in the regulations and not in the Act, the in-person requirement when you register as a voter. Clause 3 further amends section 7 by deleting subsection 2, which subsection has been superseded by the creation of an international segment of the voter's role. In other words, international segment of the voter's role has rendered subsection 2 of section 7 redundant. Clause 4 of the bill corrects reference to the Mental Health Care Act. The bill, as it stands, was making reference to the Mental Health Act of 1973, which act has since been superseded by the Act 17 of 2002. So it's a technical correction of that in clause 4. Clause 4 further amends section 8 to provide for the entering of the name of a person who's ordinarily resident outside of the Republic in the segment of the voter's role created for that purpose. For the first time, we are introducing a segment of the voter's role for persons who are ordinarily resident outside of the Republic. In other words, we are making available opportunities for South African citizens who are resident outside of the Republic for them to register as South African missions abroad, and a specific segment of the role is created in terms of clause 4. Ordinarily, voters may be registered only in the voting districts in which they are ordinarily resident. And to register persons who are ordinarily resident outside of the Republic, a segment is created to accommodate those persons where they are actually resident. In other words, instead of placing them in segments in the country, we create a segment for them where they are actually ordinarily resident, which is outside of the Republic. Again, a segment of the role in fact, connect a voter to a political entity such as a ward, a municipality, and a province. In other words, a person registered in a voting district in which they live, and that voting district connects that voter to a ward and to a municipality and to a province. So the notion of ordinary residence is not only a geographic and administrative maneuver on the side of the commission, but it's also an important linkage with political entities such as a ward, a municipality, and a province. So, as I was indicating, ordinary place of residence determines for which legislative body a voter may vote. Section 8, subsection 2F, was declared unconstitutional by the Constitutional Court, and as such, it is deleted. That makes reference, I think, to imprisonment without the option of a fine. That was found to have been unconstitutional in that NICRO case in 2004. Clause 5 of the bill makes reference to imprisonment without an option of a fine is deleted in subsection 1 of section 24B, consistent with the Constitutional Court in the NICRO case of 2004. And clause 5 further provides for the deletion of subsection 2 of section 24B, which made provision that a person may only vote if he or she is not serving a sentence of imprisonment without an option of a fine. Like I said, this was found to be unconstitutional in the NICRO matter in 2004. Now, Clause 6 deals with special votes. And in Clause 6, we are removing categories of voters outside of the Republic. In other words, in the present Section 33 of the Act, there were categories of voters who were temporarily absent from the Republic. So those categories are being removed. And we are bringing in line the special voting dispensation with the judgment of the Constitutional Court in the Rechter case of 2009. We are also structuring existing provisions to bring greater clarity to the special voting dispensation in general. Thirdly, we bring in parity of provisions between the Electoral Act as well as the Municipal Electoral Act by introducing a special voting dispensation for any person who is absent from the voting district on election day. Now, the bill also separates special votes for the National Assembly, for the election of the National Assembly, and special votes for an election of a provincial legislature. So Clause 6 deals then with special votes for the election of a National Assembly. And Clause 6 substitutes Section 33 of the Electoral Act in order to provide for the Commission to allow a person to apply and cast a special vote prior to election day in the election of the National Assembly if that person cannot vote at the voting station in the voting district in which he or she is registered as a voter due to that person's physical infirmity, disability, or pregnancy. May be absent from his district while serving as an officer in the election or being on duty as a member of the security services in connection with the election or absence in connection with the election. I think there's a typo there. That all should not be there. So that's the first category of special voters for the National Assembly. A special voting dispensation is introduced for any person, to apply for a special vote in the voting district if such persons will be absent from the voting district on election day. So that's the proposed Section 33(2). This brings the Act in line with provisions of the Municipal Electoral Act. For any person who will be unable to vote in their voting district on election day, they may apply for a special vote and vote prior to election day within their voting station. Now, Section 33, the proposed Section 33 provides for special votes for persons who are registered in voting districts in the Republic but who will be outside of the Republic on election day. Such persons must notify the Chief Electoral Officer of their intention to vote and the mission of the Republic where they intend so voting. They'll need to do so within 15 days of proclamation. A proviso has been added for arrangements to be made for security services personnel serving in that capacity outside of the Republic. In other words, the military, the police, and so on, special arrangements can be made for them outside of the borders of the Republic. Then Section 33, the proposed Section 33(4) provides for special votes for persons registered on the segment of the voter's roll for persons ordinarily resident outside of the Republic. Again, such persons must notify the Chief Electoral Officer of their intention to vote and the mission of the Republic at which they intend voting, and they must do so within 15 days of proclamation. So that new segment of the roll that has been introduced, this is a provision that assists those persons who are ordinarily resident outside of the Republic. They can use the Section 33(4) to apply for a special vote. Now, in terms of the proposed Section 33(5), votes cast in accordance with subsections 3 and 4, i.e., votes that are cast outside of the Republic, will, for purposes of Schedule 1A of the Electoral Act, be counted as votes will be counted nationally. The composition of the National Assembly has two components. There's a regional component as well as a national component. So these votes that are cast outside of the Republic will be factored into the national component, the second 200 seats, and not the regional, the first 200 regional seats. The proposed Section 33(6) provides that the Commission must prescribe procedures for the application of special votes for the National Assembly. Basically, this means that the Commission is empowered to make regulations for the application and the administration of special votes. Now, Clause 7 of the bill deals with special votes for the election of a provincial legislature. And we insert in Section 33, Capital A, for that purpose, in order to provide for the commission to allow a person to apply for and cast a special vote prior to election day in the election of a provincial legislature if that person cannot vote at the voting station in the voting district in which he or she is registered as a voter due to, then it repeats those three categories, persons who are physically infirm, those that are disabled, and those that are pregnant. Absence from voting station while serving as an officer in an election or being on duty as a security services personnel in connection with the election. So that's the first category for special votes in an election of a provincial legislature. Then we have the proposed Section 33, Capital A2, is a general provision for all persons who will be absent from the voting district on election day. It's similar to the one that we have in 33.2, where any person can apply for special vote just on the basis that they won't be in their voting district on election day. This brings the Electoral Act again in line with the Municipal Electoral Act. And if the application for a special vote is approved, the person will vote within the voting district on the special voting day. Again, the Section 33, Capital A3, empowers the Commission to prescribe procedures for the application and the administration of special votes in an election of a provincial legislature. Clause 8 of the bill repeals Section 34 of the Act, which provides for the declaration vote in certain circumstances. In practice, declaration votes are no longer in use in the electoral process, and because that provision in Section 34 was superseded by provisions of Section 24A. Remember that on election day, if a person is outside of their voting district, they can go to any voting station, in effect, and apply for a vote in terms of Section 24A. So that renders Section 34, the present Section 34, superfluous. And Clause 9 of the bill amends Section 57 of the Act in order to effect certain technical amendment. It corrects reference to section to subsection 2 instead of the present subsection 2C. 2C there was an incorrect reference. The correct reference ought to be just 2. So it's a technical cleanup. And Clause 10 of the bill amends Section 58 of the Act in order to make provision for sufficient agents if voting and counting at the voting station takes place in more than one room or separately enclosed area. 2 agents in respect of each enclosed area or room. In the case where a party contests an election, each substation in a voting center would have 2 party agents per party. This is intended to increase transparency in the electoral process. There are voting stations in the country where there are high numbers of registered voters. Now, as part of trying to increase the efficiency in the administration of the voting process, those voting stations are broken down into separate enclosed areas as if they were independent voting stations. So for each of these enclosed area or room, there will be two party agents per party, so that parties can satisfy themselves as to the credibility of the electoral process. Clause 11 deals with the short title of the bill. Chairperson, this is the substance in the proposed bill.
Thank you very much.
Honourable Member, there's the presentation from the Department of Home Affairs through IEC. You can ask questions. Honourable Lube, Honourable Fa, De Villiers, Faba, Honourable Blagi. Yeah, and that's sequence.
Thanks, Chairperson. I just want to get clarity on the separation of the vote of the National Assembly and the region. I'm interested, what do you mean by the region? The second one, there is a clause here that allows for someone to have a special vote if he or she is not going to be there during the day of the vote. It might be clear, but I want a confirmation. You find that on the day of elections, the retailers are open, and they even announces in the evening the specials that will be there in their shops. And thirdly, the retailers are full of casuals, and at the end, those casuals don't get time to go and vote. So, in that context, do they qualify to apply for this special vote so that they exercise their democratic right? Because Abongwa, they just want us to lose votes. Thanks.
Chairperson, just for my understanding and just for clarity, clause 4, slide number 7, the first bullet point, segments of the voter's roll connected a voter with political entities such as a ward, municipality and a province, that the one the word political entities is not clear to me, because when voting and the ward does not belong to a political organization, it is actually a ward in a municipality and not to a political organization such as ANC or DA or any other political. Now, why this is stated as in this word, political entity? Just for my understanding and the clarity on that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The one thing I would like to just talk about as well is, or there's two things. The one is how you will have proof on the registration on that smart card. I did ask it last when the minister was here, but I did not really get an answer on that. Because on the smart card there won't be like a registration sticker or something. So I will, especially in the rural areas, if someone gets a smart card and he goes to the rural area, will they, I mean, there should be some computer system to help, and I don't know if everyone will have that. That's the one question. And then as our one colleague said here to my right as well, on it says it differentiate between the National Assembly and provincial. Now, if I understand this right, it says like voters outside the Republic, obviously, you know, they can vote for on the national. But according to our understanding, but they will not be able to vote for provincial, or for, you know, and that to me I don't understand, because how can you, if it's not a problem to vote national, why can't you vote provincial? Because it goes to the same place where the votes get counted in, let's say for instance, if it is in Australia or in Botswana, wherever where this person stays, those votes, if I vote for instance nationally for this person, then where I stayed provincially before I went overseas, I should be able to vote for that province, because my family is still living in that province, my wife and kids for instance, so I would like to know about that. And then there's one thing that has been disturbing me, and I don't see that's been amended. I would like to know, for instance, in Perth, I know people must fly 3 hours to go and register and vote. And I mean, I understand that the reason for that was that it must be like at the embassy on South African ground. But if you look at international practice, I do know that other countries, you don't have to. They make availability where there's a lot of South or other country members, in our case then South Africans available, they make the availability for people to vote in such a region. Thank you, if you can help me on that.
Thank you very much.
I am Modulus Dilo. I just want to, I've seen that you actually intending to on the party agent regulate that at least should be 2 party agents per voting district. But what I want to check is that in view of this amendment, did you look at the size of the voting districts? Because in most cases, I would just make an example, Chair, quickly, that I've seen in number of by-elections that the IEC is using tremendously small voting district, and most in for example, if there are 6 parties registered in that area and it's by elections and it's 2 each in one voting district, they were using an RDP house. Some of the party agents have to peep through the window to observe the process. Did you look at that situation? Because some of the stations are temporary stations. There's no And I have seen, in most cases in the Northwest, there are some few temporary stations. And in those temporary stations, and the size of the stations are extremely small. Do you take that into consideration? And the other one is on the passport. The use of passport, and it's close one, I'm sure. Just want clarity on that. I'm not sure if I understand you. That you intend to, because passport was not used as the means to vote. It was the law says you must use a green pass, voted ID. Now you want to include passport as the document that should also be recognized by IEC for voting purposes. I want to check if I understand you correct. Then from maybe if I understand you correct, you'll explain to me that when I was thinking about this question, I was saying, look, the passport expires at a certain point. It's not a permanent document. So if people can use a temporary, let's say temporary document, an ad hoc document to vote, and next time they discard it or they don't use it, what is the view of using the passport that validates you to use a passport for this purpose, if we do have ID or a smart card? Then I think that would be my last question, because the question on the clarity on the National Assembly matter and the provincial legislature matter on the special vote, I'm sure my colleague have asked that question. I'll rely on you responding to that question.
Okay, yeah, before you respond, I have some few questions also to pose. The last slide refers to the financial implications for state, which is 5.7 million rands projected, which is due to the administration of special votes outside the Republic. Is it possible that you can just briefly tell us the countries that will be participating in the these votes, and also the number of estimation on the number of people in these countries that will be voting? Do you have any estimation so that we have an idea? And another question is on the slide 22, institutions consulted. I see only one institution that has been consulted. I'm not sure whether it was through submissions, you have requested for submissions, and this is the only organization that has submitted anything. If you can elaborate on the institutions consulted, what does this mean? And on clause 10 refers to the addition of an extra room of a separate enclosed area. This might be a nightmare for the parties if they are not informed on time, so that they make preparations for their party agents and other people that are supposed to be participating there. How will you ensure that parties that are participating in the elections are informed on time if there will be an extra room or separately enclosed area? And another question is, on the clause 6, bullet 2 refers to such persons must not have a special vote on NA. Such persons must notify the CEO of their intention to vote and the mission where they intend voting. Practically, what should these people do exactly? How should they apply? And on clause 6, removing categories of voters outside the Republic, bringing in line the special voting dispensation with the judgment of the constitutional, in the Rechter case. Can you elaborate to us more on this clause so that we can understand it much better? The last question, clause 6, the special vote. Another question is on clause 5, which refers to this bullet, further provides for the deletion of subsection 2 of section 24B, which made provision that a person may only vote if he or she is not serving a sentence of imprisonment without the option of a fine. Does this refer also to waiting trials? Those who are still waiting for the cases to be processed through. Those will be the few questions. Thank you very much. And over to you if you are ready to respond.
Yeah.
Mr. Mamabolo, and your team.
My colleague will deal with the issue of the passport.
No, that's okay. It's up to you. I will.
Thank you, honorable members. I think the issue of the passport is only applicable to those citizens who will be registering to vote and they are ordinarily outside, resident outside the Republic. So those who will be in the country will only use their own identity document only. But if you're outside the Republic, an additional requirement is that you need to have a South African valid passport. This is one of the other measures to ensure that we are dealing with, as indicated in the presentation, people who are citizens. You'll remember that some of the citizens who might be outside the country might have lost citizenship. So there's just going to be an additional measure to confirm that people are still confirmed citizens of the Republic. They have not lost citizenship. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. The questions the question relating to the separation of votes for the National Assembly as well as the election of provincial legislatures. We've separated them in order to create clarity of what is possible in an election, what is possible in terms of a special vote in an election of the National Assembly, and what is possible in relation to an election of a provincial legislature. Because if you are outside of the Republic, you may only vote in an election of the National Assembly and not in an election of a provincial legislature. So the separation was trying to create clarity in terms of what is possible, especially if you are outside of the, or if you are voting outside of the Republic, irrespective of where you are registered. What are the regions? The Schedule 1A of the present Act refers to provinces as regions. It's the language of the present Act, but in effect, regions mean provinces. We know that for an election of a National Assembly, there are region to national lists. That's what it means. Province to national list, as well as national to national list. Yes. The retailers opening on election day. The persons who, the casuals, will they be entitled special votes? Yes. If we pass this bill, anybody can come and apply for a special vote and say, on election day, I won't be in my voting district, and therefore, I won't be able to go to my voting station. And on that basis, whatever the reason is, then request for a special vote. That will be possible, even for persons who are casual at retail shops and so on. However, the commission would normally engages with the retail community to try to persuade them, because I think really the idea is to persuade them. The minister and the president, in fact, through the minister, always declare election day a holiday. So we really are dependent on the power of persuasion to really get the retailers, at least not to open the whole day, so as to allow those who are waiting an opportunity to express their democratic right. The issue of the VD linking a voter to a political entity. Perhaps we should have made use of the word political constituency. But what we basically mean is that the South African law is that you register where you are ordinarily resident. You register in a voting district in which you are ordinarily resident, and that voting district links you with a ward. So it links you with a political constituency, because a ward is a constituency where political parties and independents can contest for representation. So we're not using the word here to mean it's a political entity belonging to a party, but it's a political entity in a sense that parties can contest to represent people resident in that geographic constituency, be it a ward, be it a province, be it a municipality. So our reference to that is not intended to mean this is an entity belonging to Party A or Party B, but rather that it's a constituency that can be contested by
by all political parties. The smart card and the proof of application. Honourable member is correct that we would not be in a position to place proof of application on the smart card. As a result, we will be making available a separate receipt where we're going to place the proof of application for those persons who have a smart card. So during registration weekends, all voting stations will have this receipt, and persons who bring smart cards will get those receipts. The issue of the provincial vote for persons who are outside of the Republic is a complex constitutional issue because whereas in the Republic voters can be linked to a province by their place of ordinary residence, the same cannot be said of voters who are outside of the Republic. So there is no nexus. There is no obvious nexus between a person who's ordinarily resident in Perth, as an example, and a person who is ordinarily resident in Canberra to a province. What gives them nexus is their citizenship links them to the nation, to the country. So that's why they need to vote in an election of the National Assembly and not of a province, because they are not living in that province. They are living outside of the country. So they don't have that connection with the province and with the municipality and with the ward, but they do have a connection at the national level due to their citizenship. That's the first issue. The second issue is the fact that if you are in the country and you vote outside of your province, you only vote in the National Assembly. So the Commission is conscious not to have disparities in the special voting dispensation, to find a situation where voters who are outside of the Republic may vote in a provincial through a provincial ballot, but South Africans who are in the country, when they go outside of their province, only get a national ballot. If we were to allow South Africans who are in the Republic to vote for their province outside outside of their province of registration, it would mean we will, if I'm Mama Bule and I'm registered in Gauteng and I'm in Cape Town, it means my ballot from Norwood in Johannesburg must be brought here somewhere in Cape Town, and after voting it must be transferred back to my voting station where I must be marked off the voter's roll, because when you apply for a special vote we write against your name on the roll as V, and then the ballot is sent. When it comes back we need to verify that indeed it's your ballot, and then go back to the voter's roll to see whether you did not turn up at that voting station. And if your name has not been crossed out, then we count this other ballot. So what does this mean? It means that ballots will be in the postal system and outside of the control of the Electoral Commission for a very extended period. Now, we can't vouch for the credibility then of the process, because we don't know what happens in the postal system. And remember that the postal system is uneven across the country. There are areas where there's an efficient postal system, and there are areas where the postal system is either non-existent or of a very weak weak efficiency level. And in order to wait for this ballots through the postal system, we'd either have to do special votes 3 weeks before the election or delay the counting of ballots by 3 weeks in order for all these ballots to come everywhere in the country to their correct station. So there's an issue of these things being outside, the ballots being outside of the control of the commission for at least 2 weeks. And that, I think, is a threat to the credibility of the process. Secondly, we need to be conscious that we do not remove the use of the voter's roll in the electoral process, because it is the only document that ensures that we avoid double voting. So the issue really relates to a nexus. It relates to the credibility of the results. If an equivalent dispensation for persons overseas around the provincial ballot were to be made for persons in the Republic. And then voting stations outside of the missions of the Republic, i.e. The mission in Australia is in Canberra and a person is in Perth and so on. International law provides that the mission is the territory of the Republic, so South African law applies in the territory of the Republic. But South African law does not apply outside of the mission. So we are hamstrung there by international law. And then the size of voting station in relation to voting centers. I think Honorable Plagg is correct that some voting stations are small, but does the infrastructure, does the function of the infrastructure that is available in those communities? And because the Electoral Commission does not own voting stations, we use what we find within communities. Of course, we have to augment what is there, so that we make the voting, the election process, an easy process for everybody. We are looking into the issue of temporary voting stations, because that's where the most challenges are, to ensure that based on the numbers of registered persons there, we use slightly bigger tents, especially during the general election process, including the by-elections. We, in the past, parties agreed among themselves to say if the place is too small, let's say it's a school, but it's a primary school, so normally those are smaller, to say party one, party two, party three, will observe between this and other and between these hours, and a different set of people will come at a later point. But you could also say have one at the party and then exchange in that way. The passport, I think, relates to the issue that my colleague raised, that we need to verify that you still are a South African citizen for persons who are outside of the Republic. The countries involved, the South Africa has 124 missions throughout the world. So all those missions will be used to register for people and to allow them to vote. So it does mean that there are countries where we don't have formal diplomatic relations with with those countries, and in those countries we won't be able to register people and we won't be able to provide for voting opportunities. Why was the National Party Liaison Committee the only institution consulted? I think we have published the bill for public comment through the Ministry of Home Affairs, and submissions were made over and above consultation with the National Party Liaison Committee. The Party Liaison Committee is basically a structure where the Commission consults with all political parties in the country, so which is why we consulted. But we also published the bill for public comment through the Ministry. The Portfolio Committee on Home Affairs further published the bill for public comment, and there were a number of comments received which the committee considered in arriving at the bill, at the B version of the bill. The practical procedures for notification to the CEO. All persons who are outside of the Republic, within 15 days after the President has proclaimed an election day, they can send a fax or to say, I am registered to vote only during special voting days for persons who are outside of the country. I'll be voting in New York. So it can either be a fax or a website application. So we have developed an application that will be on the website, and persons can just go there and make the notification on the website. They'll get an email and an SMS notification to say your notification has been received, and on this day go to the embassy to apply for a special vote. The Rachter case and the categories in just before the 2009 elections, Mr. Rachter approached the Pretoria High Court and said that he is outside of the Republic on contract. He's working outside of the country on contract. When his contract ends, he intends coming back into the country to continue his life in the country. The Act, as it stands, did not allow for persons in his circumstances to vote outside of the country. We only provided for people who were on a business trip, who were attending school outside of the country, or who were attending an international sporting event, or and persons who were working for government and members of their households. The Constitutional Court said those categories are unconstitutional. It has to be all South Africans who are outside of the country. So the bill takes away those categories, and it makes provision for all South Africans who are registered, who are ordinarily resident outside of the country, and even those that are registered in the country but will be outside of the country on election day, to notify the CEO of their intention to vote and where they intend voting. Lastly, the issue around the awaiting trial prisoners. The provision does not make a distinction between sentenced and unsentenced prisoners. The problem with awaiting trial prisoners is that they are very, what's the word? There's a state of flux. They move a lot between facilities, because they go to court, get released, they get bail, and so on and so on. But the provision as it stands, it does not preclude them.
Thanks very much, Mr. Mamabolo. Any other questions? Yeah. Also, Mr. Mamabolo, on the question that was raised by one member here of the shop owners who sometimes don't give their workers time off to go and vote, I think this situation is rife in the country. Very right, and it also includes farm owners and farm dwellers. Very right, I know the things here. So I think the Department of Home Affairs should assist us to try and look at this challenge, because this is a serious challenge that is happening in the country, to deny the workers the right to go and vote.
No, thanks. Taking from what you said, from Mr. Mamabul, even 2011, there was commitment from your side to talk to these business people. They don't listen. They don't, and they threaten the workers because of the circumstance of them being casuals. And almost all the retailers, everybody that is working there is a casual. So I'm not sure whether it is a delivery thing or what, but really we haven't seen you biting to them. Maybe it's a question of no more persuasion, but something else has to be done. And the other one is on the station where you find that there are long queues, and then being advised to say, okay, others can go to another voting station. And you find that also the ballot papers are running short of them. And people, after having stood for 4 hours or 5 hours and then go to another station, there are no ballot boxes, but the time of closing still remains 9 o'clock, if it is 9 o'clock, without looking at the hiccups that it is not of the voters' capacity or incapacity to say you are not at the station, but because the ballot papers were not there, then the queues become very long and exceeds 9 o'clock, which is a closing time. Thank you.
Thanks very much, ma'am. Chairperson, I've got a question on the issue of the smart card and the receipt, because I'm thinking of people. This smart card issue has excited a lot of people in our communities, and the registration will be open in November. Some of them have just applied for the smart card, or are still going to apply for a smart card. Going to the registration, they will be going with their IDs, and then maybe the ID will be put a sticker, and then when they go with the smart card, I know it will appear in the list, in their papers, that this person has registered, ne? But when it's receipt alone, to me, receipt is something else. Is there no computer linking to other computers or whatever machine that can link to other stations around the area that can link this person who has just voted in this voting station, that this one has already voted, he or she will not be allowed to vote in the other land of station. And also the issue of people who have already registered, and on the date of the registry or of the vote, that person found himself or herself in hospital. in our case in Alwal North, our regional hospital is in East London. So East London is in the same province, ne? But it's not in the same area. It's not in Joburg. It's BCM. So I'm worried. What is IEC doing in cases of people that are in hospital? Do you have special people that you send on the special on the date to go and to open a voting station in places like hospitals? And also my concern is about my husband is a policeman, and usually he does not find himself somewhere else. Not in the in the place where he is supposed to vote, and unfortunately for him, akazanga vote ngo 2009, akazanga vote ngo 2011 municipal election because of his work, and that is an ANC voter, and that means one of the ANC voters has not voted for the ANC. That's why I'm asking you, can't you have, or is it not acceptable to have in this amendment bill, a clause where it will make provision for them to have a special day for themselves, Amapolis, all of them in South Africa, to vote on that day, on those days, for those days, and on the voting day, they all allowed to go anywhere, because they're not usually placed in the same, their demarcation is not the same as our municipality demarcation. Thanks, Chair.
Yeah, Chair. Like I said, we're taking advantage that we, it's for the first time that we have an IEC with us, and we more often we tend to go off the proposed amendment bill and raise general question on our frustrations. But my inquiry, Chair, is on the segment of the voters' roll. My understanding says the IEC is the custodian of the voters' roll. But and more often I ask myself, how involved is the IEC, you know, in the MDP processes? And then if the IEC is involved, why do they allow the MDP compromise their integrity? I will say why I'm saying that, Chair. You see, and more often the Municipal Demarcation Board changes the arrangement, the ward arrangement, more often as they want. When the voters go to, that is why there is always when you supposed to provide opportunity for people to come and vote, the voting process tend to become battlefield. There's bloodbath in during the election. People are fighting. Because why people go to a where they know that they are voting there, they find that the MDP have removed them from the vote segments of the voters' roll. They don't place them anywhere. Even if they ask where do we vote, they said wait, we will tell you at some other time. Why do you allow that situation? Because apparently, my observation is the situation that have causes more of stay, that most of the municipal wards have been shifted more often. The next election, go back again, and so and so. So they're using it, I don't know, I don't want to use another difficult words for you, they're using it for another purpose now. Because, you see, to me, IEC, it becomes on the branch now. They become compromised. Because it's not the MDP who must answer to so many things. Is the IEC that gets litigation and have to answer for the actions that have been actually caused by the Municipal Demarcation Board speedily, without being, maybe even if the IEC is aware of that, but they're just doing it. So I just want to find out from you, what is your relation with those structures? Because those structures, in my opinion, are causing chaos. No, I've seen it in by-elections, but I'm sure you've got your observation as well. Thank you, Chair.
Yes. Chairperson, I was struggling now to look up the definition of the word ward.
act, but I could not yet find it. And the reason why I'm saying this is I've struggled with the word political entity, because nowhere in the act is they saying a political thing. And I know this is all only for us a presentation. It is not included into the. But never in our documents we must allow that word a political entity. It must actually say a municipal ward. And I stick to my understanding that the ward does not belong to any political party. We must remove it. Yes, just read it.
Would an urban district having corporate status and powers of self-government?
Yes.
And from the eyes, from you as the representative and person who.
There's another one.
Sorry, here's a lot of definitions. The other one says that the division or district or city or town has for administrative or political purposes 2-1 districts. But it's something else.
Okay, thanks. Maybe let me start with this one before I get misled to confirm request you to confirm the dates for registration in November. And then lastly, I was like saying, Ayman, let me ignore it. But isn't it that during the national elections, I have registered at Jablani, Siavuma Primary School. And during the day of the voting, I'm still within the province. So I am in Tshwane. My understanding is that during the national elections, it doesn't matter where you are. You can vote for the province and national. However, if it is municipality, then you have to go to that district or that VT. So can you just clarify? Because now I seem to be confused now. Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. The issue of shop owners, farm owners, and persons who work there. I think we accept that it's a challenge, and I'll place a report to the commission and convey the sentiment of the committee that you are worried and you want something much stronger to be done this time round. I want to link the last question from member and the issue of long queues. When people see that there are long queues, they shop around. They go where they find where there are shorter queues. And because there are shorter queues, you find that the number of registered persons at that voting station is low. Find that maybe it's a voting station with 1,000 voters. So when we provide ballot papers, we provide, say, for 1,000 and 100 as a buffer. But because people go flock there, say 2,000 people turn up, we then experience the shortage that you are referring to. We are currently developing what we call a ballot management strategy for this election, because we do not want to have a recurrence of that. It is in the process of development, and it will be presented to the Commission and to political parties once it is complete. But we are acutely aware of that problem, which is why we set up a task team to devise a strategy to deal with this issue. The issue of the smart card and the receipt. You see, there are 22,300 voting stations
in the country. So we don't have IT connectivity linking all 22,000. I think that infrastructure, it will cost the country substantially. That's why when you come to apply, we will scan your smart card and we will have, you'll have a receipt with some security features. So it won't be like any piece of paper. It will have some elements of security features. And on election day, when you come, we will scan your smart card and we will know which number you are on the voter's roll. So the smart card should not introduce any risk to the voting process. If you are in hospital, members of your household have to apply for you for a special vote, and IC officials will come to the hospital to take your special vote. So again, if you are in the same province, if you are in a hospital in the same province where you are registered, you'll get two ballots. But if you are in a hospital outside of the province where you are registered, you'll only get the national ballot. The police officials, there are police officials, there's a category there, they can apply for a special vote and vote before their deployment. So they are catered for in terms of special votes. They just need to apply, and on special voting day, they need to go to their voting station and cast a special vote. Alternatively, they can use Section 24A to vote. In other words, wherever they are deployed on election day, they can go to any voting station and apply to vote in terms of Section 24A. So there are two possibilities for them to vote. On? If you are, they are outside of the province, they'll only get national. But if they're within their province, they'll get both. The MDB processes and the ward demarcation issues, I think this is a major concern. We have a close working relationship with the board. But obviously we are two separate institutions with two distinct political legal mandates. The question that I think as a society we need to be considering is whether we should have static wards. In other words, wards that don't change between municipal general elections. Because if you have that, then you are sure that there won't be these challenges. The counter argument to static wards is that the number of people who are registered within those wards grows, you know, and there are others they depopulate. So you're going to have a situation where one councillor represents 50,000 people, and a councillor next door represents 15,000 people. So the quality of the vote there becomes a bit of an issue. But it's a matter that we've placed before the demarcation board to say one way to fundamentally resolve this problem of voting districts being cut by ward boundaries and so on, and this happens every 5 years just before a general municipal election, is to consider the notion of static boundaries. But there are countries in the world who have never who have wards that doesn't change. The issue of I think it was just a comment that the political entity thing I don't want to repeat what I said in my earlier answer. The Electoral Commission will be launching the elections tomorrow. All the dates and all the logos and the election song and everything will be unveiled tomorrow. So, and the media campaign for the registration weekend will start tomorrow. Radio, TV, posters, billboards, and so on. So, just to have a general awareness program. Section 24A scenario in national and provincial. You are correct, Honorable Mube. If you are on election day, you go to a station where you are not registered. If you are within your province, you get both the provincial and the national ballot. If you are outside of your province, you only get the national ballot. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mabul. Any follow-up? That was the last question. Yes. Yes. Yes, carry on.
To the legal advisors of Parliament. Mm-hmm. Now, this bill is categorized as a Section 75 bill. Mm-hmm. And my understanding is that provinces actually are included in the election process, and also when the next year, when the election day is there, provinces are actually influenced on that. Now, what happens when tagging this bill as a 75 and not a 76? Maybe the IEC cannot give me, it is not their right and not their mandate to clear that up. But I think we as a select committee must take this one up with our legal advisor so that they must explain. And the reason for that question is we here in the NCOP are actually representing provinces. And we must actually come up when there is something like this so that we can actually, if the Western Cape Parliament or the committee who's handling this question me, why you in the National Assembly and the tagging committee tag this bill as a 75 and not a 76? I must be able to explain to you. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. I haven't heard your take from the IEC. What has been done by a certain organization in Gauteng, posting the billboards. Is it within the line of the legislations of campaigning enshrined in that act? Thank you.
The issue of tagging, I'll leave it to my colleagues from the Office of the State Law Advisor. The billboards regarding e-tolls, I think the Act says that complaints of that nature must go to the electoral court. And I think let's have a test case. Let's hear what the court will say and clarify all our minds.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On the issue of tagging, we are guided by Section 76 of the Constitution, particularly Section 76.3, which says that a bill must be dealt with in accordance with either subsection 1 or 2, meaning a 76 process, if it falls within a functional area listed in Schedule 4. Now, Schedule 4 is your concurrent national and provincial competencies. So the issue of elections doesn't fall within a Schedule 4 function, nor does it fall within any of the sections listed under 76.3, which is your Section 65, which deals with laws dealing with provincial delegates at the NCOP. nor is it section 163, which deals with the recognition of a national and provincial joint committees and so on. We also took our lead from the recent Tongwani case, which says that there's two ways of determining whether a bill must be dealt with in terms of a 75 process or a 76. The first reason was that it must in substantial measure fall within Schedule 4. And the whole regulation of elections doesn't fall within Schedule 4. Or it must fall within the sections that are listed under 76(3)(a)-(f). And the provisions of this bill doesn't fall within any of that. That's why it was tagged as a Section 75. I know it's a little bit of a technical argument, but I don't know if the state law advisor wants to add anything here, but it was, we did sort of consult one another on this and produced opinions on it, and it was agreed that it should be a 75. All previous electoral amendment bills were also Section 75, but more recently, we take our cue from the Tongwani matter.
And
can I
clarify?
You think for the chairperson why I'm asking that question? From my side, as a candidate in the election, if there's something wrong, say in my party, then I can actually take my party to the court. If this bill is correctly tagged, if there's something wrong with a decision made by that party in connection with the person who's coming to Parliament, because I will come either to provincial Parliament or to national Parliament, but still I will be on a regional list in the National Assembly also. And that is the reason why I'm asking this, and that is the reason also why I cannot understand it, but I don't have the qualification as in the law fraternity to decide on this. I must actually go to a senior advocate or something like that, and then they must investigate that if there's something wrong in connection with this bill of 75 and also 76. Then from that side I must actually approach it. But I cannot approach it from my party side because my party don't have a problem with the 75. But I will discuss it with the province. If they are satisfied with it, I don't have a problem with it.
Thank you. Yeah, that's what exactly I wanted to suggest to this meeting, that let's go back and we will be find time also to refer to our constitution so that we understand much better what 76 and 75, what does it mean. Then it will also give the legal advisors an opportunity to also to reflect on the matter and develop a response that will, before we continue with our meeting on the 22nd of October, where we will be dealing with the finalization. Then we deal with that aspect and put it away, then we do other matters on the field. That is, I think that will be in order if we do it that way. Let's not finalize it now, this particular story. Let's go back and thank you very much. So that means that the further deliberations of the further deliberations clause by clause of this amendment bill will be done on the 22nd October. We'll also give an opportunity to other public communities to make their own submissions if they have any submission and their input on this amendment bill. Then we will be dealing with those issues on the 22nd of October. Yeah, that will be all for today. So thank you very much, Department of Home Affairs and Mr. Mamabolo. This is your team for leading us in the presentation and assisted us to explain certain clarity-seeking issues that were supposed to be responded to. Thank you very much. I think this will be all for today. Thanks a lot. See you on the 22nd. Yes. Honorable members, we just have one item. Let's switch it to minutes. Oh, she left? She has left.
oversight next week.
She's here, the bank is here, the documents are here.
She's here.
But with Eastern Cape, she's here.
Yeah.
Any adoption? Move for the adoption of the minutes, Honorable Mube? Okay. Honorable Blakey moving, seconded by Honorable de Villiers. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Then that takes us to the oversight, to the is this the fourth program? Fourth term program. Let's deal with the issue of the oversight today. Honorable Noble, can you lead us on the subject?
No, thanks, Chair. Chairperson, before we closed, there was the program of this committee was presented, and at that time,
No. Meeting is still continuing. Thank you very much.
Sorry.
And there was a week which was written oversight, NCOP oversight. When we went to WHIPS meeting, the house chair was reporting that only few committees have submitted oversight programs from their committees, and we asked Clarity, is it committees or is it an NCOP? He said it's committees. And I think on the following day I raised it with you that hey, there's that week which we need to decide where we're getting to. The week is next week. It's Tuesday today. One is not away. Where are we getting to? Because arrangements have to be made. Whether we're going out or we want to be here, I don't know. But it is said, because what happens, always the house chair whips us, as whips. So I'm not aware in terms of where we're getting to. I'm not sure about education. Maybe tomorrow we're going to be discussing that. But from your side, thanks.
I think on that day when we were discussing the program of the committee, was it the third term program where it reflected the oversight, we agreed that we will pursue the joint visit that we have agreed on with the education committee. That was the agreement on that meeting, that let's continue with that joint oversight. I don't know from the side of the committee what did she present to the office of the chair of chairs on that matter, but there was an agreement that we still want to continue with that oversight in Northwest and the Pope together with the education committee. Can you tell us, ma'am, how far is that arrangement? Because that was the agreement that we made. Yes.
Are you asking me?
Yes, I'm asking you.
Unfortunately, I can't speak for Ms. Mahati. I was told by Langa last week that she has taken a decision that education is going to housing. And I've spoken to the chairperson about that, and that is where Chair and I left it, because the agreement was a joint oversight, and Langa is going ahead with arrangements for education oversight. So,
but you're not responding to the question. The question is, we took a decision here for you to develop a program and make arrangements for the visit to Northwest, Northwest and the Bofo, together with education. This thing of Blanda and whoever came in later. What did you do after the decision you take it to?
The joint oversight that we had taken in the second term, actually, that we had decided on for third term, that was postponed at the time. There was something happening with the NCOP. Then we had decided in the last few meetings to jointly do the finance Limpopo visit. Remember, Chairperson, even in our last meeting, there was an issue when yourself and Ms. Mahati had asked members to attend the Limpopo oversight, the finance Limpopo oversight, because you had said it wasn't mandated to finance alone. It would be part of our committee work. So our committee would not do its own oversight, would be do the finance oversight. That was then again also postponed, and finance then shifted the oversight
instead of going on oversight next week, they'll have the stakeholders coming here to Parliament and then present members present the, their findings to the committee at Parliament. So our members would have been taking part in that oversight, but at Parliament then. That is where the Limpopo Finance Select Committee on Social Services.
So the joint one falls off now.
Because it was replaced with this finance.
Okay, let's allow Honourable Fab.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I can just also say that NA's Committee on Education, this week, they are on oversight. Next week, they're in committees. So I know that because our Shadow Minister and Deputy Shadow Minister, I went to him this morning and he was this week on oversight. So next week, they are back. He said to me then they've got 3 weeks of committees.
Person, we get blamed. We get blamed on, for instance, the last time we were arguing that why finance wants us to accompany. After we're asking them, we're made to accompany. We said, but it's not accompany, it's all of us. What's with this committee is health and education. We are not aware, it's by the chance that I have put it.
Mm.
We are not going to be told that next week they are here.
Mm.
We raise it with the House Chair, that why does it become only a finance, because finance is a leader of the cluster of other committees that are under administration. So I'm not sure whether it is the Secretary of Finance with yourselves, I don't know. Because we were made to understand that no, at chairperson's meeting, that issue is being discussed. It's not going to happen again, that we trail the events. So, given this situation, where are we going to be? Where are we going to be next week? Does it mean that, okay, next week, because education and health is part of administration in Limpopo, then we're here as part of that. We need to know rather than be told on a Friday or ask phoned. There's a missed call twice, missed call here of 466, that's committee session. Maybe they were asking me that, hey, are you going to Limpopo or whatever it is, I don't know. But where are the decisions taken? That's my problem. Where are the decisions taken? Thanks. We're going to the WIPS meeting now. Tomorrow to be programming. We're going to be played.
Yeah.
Thanks. Yes, Madam Chair, I would just like to know, Marcel was talking about something that Langa and Ms. Makgate is already busy. Can we just perhaps as committee also know now, perhaps from Marcel, what is the arrangement as far as you know at this stage for next week? That we at least have an idea, because I mean we don't, and I think it's what Pinky says, I mean, you know, we don't like it to on a Friday here that on Monday you have to be in East London or in Limpopo. I mean, I also want to plan my life forward. I need to know if we have to go to Joburg and Pretoria or whatever. We have to know where we are. I mean,
I said before you elaborate.
Yes, thanks ma'am, I'm finished.
That will be clarified tomorrow.
Okay.
By the Chairperson and the WIP and together with the
I don't know anything in the WIP.
To all members for this whole confusion, because the last meeting we were here adopting the third term, was it the third term program? We agreed that our oversight, if there's an oversight, which was reflected, which reflected an oversight. We said we need to pursue the joint visit. We agreed here in the committee. Other things came outside the meeting. We were still waiting for the joint visit, but there were other things that were happening, like the financing, which disrupted the whole thing, and many other activities. I'm sorry about this. Yes, Honorable Mo.
Thanks, Chairperson. Maybe in addition to what Member Tividas is saying, I would propose that over and above you settling it with education, but we also need the three of you, finance, Chairperson. Because we don't want when we go to programming, no. Your committee is not responding. No, meaning our committee is not responding. So can you, from today, till we meet tomorrow, we have a clarity in terms of what are we doing? Thanks.
Yeah. ngiyobuyela kwi-school meeting ngeke ngamandla ngamandla ngekomiti
asikufanele kwi-university
you
Thank you.
lot of things here at the parliament before they go. They want a lot of things. They want to go on it. Thank you, Gunter.
Come back now. Thank you. different businesses.